this segment is made possible by Smoking Tech's electric smokers that I've been using a long, long time, Catfish Pro catfishing baits and catfish supplies, Ultramatic feeders, and AGM Global Vision, maker of the spotters and thermal scopes that I hunt with. Well, friends, let's head up to beautiful Lake Texoma up on the Texas-Oklahoma border. And I'm going to tell you, I just got back from a fishing trip with my buddies Edgar Cotton and David Cotton that live in Kaufman County. We fished with Striper Express, where I always fish, Bill Carey and his son Chris. I've got Bill standing by, and we want to talk about this trip because it's pretty typical right now of what's going on in the wintertime. Bill, thank you for being with us, buddy.
Well, good morning, Luke, and all y'all out in radio land.
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing up there in that nice, beautiful, clear, crisp air this morning?
Boy, it's been a remembered December.
It has been awesome. If our trip is any indication, just a few days ago, of what's going on, if on a 1 to 10 scale, I think it would have to be a 15. Folks, we caught under the birds. You've heard Bill and I talk about fishing under the birds, the gulls. We usually mention that, especially in the wintertime. But that's what we were doing, basically. You know, we started out looking for some fish in sheltered water, didn't we, Bill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was howling that day. You know, it's getting warmer in December. There's no doubt about it. But I tell people, you will have a couple of northers blow through.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I hear that crow in the background. He's going to start wanting extra corn or something for being one of our props. I thought, folks, you might be able to hear Bill's crow back in the background. Bill's out on the dock there at Mill Creek Resort, Mill Creek Marina, probably. Bill, so we started out. The wind was earlier in the morning, it wasn't that high, but you said it got up to probably 20 miles an hour steady. Well, so we started, Chris, your son, who's one of the top guides I've ever fished with in my life, but we wanted to try to find some fish in sheltered water, but they weren't there, were they?
No, we were hoping they'd blown into the marina with that north wind, the bait, and then the fish followed, but they weren't there, so we didn't have to go far to find them, though.
Paint the picture. We gave it a good 30-minute try, and when striper fishing, if a pattern doesn't work, if you know what you're doing in the right areas in 30 minutes, it's time to move on. But so then Chris pointed the nose of the bow, that Falcon King striper, out toward open water, and tell us what happened next, Bill.
Well, the best tool in December is a good pair of binoculars. You can, it's kind of like deer hunting when you get out there early in the morning and you don't see that deer until your eyes get used to it, but you can pick off these birds with the naked eye. But those binoculars are the best. And Chris just glassed a group of birds. Oh, they weren't maybe half a mile away from the marina up on a flat, and we started there. And then we just started hopscotching schools of birds. What's going on, folks, is these are seagulls. We call them birds. The stripers are schooling fish, and they're pushing this bait to the surface, and the seagulls see the sparkle in the water, and they're better than these $2,000 fish finders we got.
They are. You know, it sounds easy, and it is easy to get into a school of feeding stripers and catch a few fish, but to stay with them and catch a bunch of them requires some knowledge and some skill. I there's no question about that. Approaching these schools, that's key. Now, if you just run up in there, you know, it's easy to get excited because you're looking at 1,000 or 500, who knows, a bunch of birds, gulls, and they're picking, hitting the surface and grabbing crippled shad or just shad that they see up on the surface. They're grabbing food. Well, there are some of them sometimes are squawking and the fish are splashing. It's exciting. The worst thing you can do is run that boat up in the middle of all that. Now, you'll probably catch 3 or 4 or 5 fish, but Chris, doing it all the time, you guys, he catches a wind drift the way the school is moving mostly, and a lot of times they'll move into the wind. I've noticed that. Mm-hmm. The birds in the school and everything else is going into the wind. Well, he'll get on up around and let the boat drift into him, and you'll make long casts in the beginning. And then you'll pick them up when that bait gets out there where they are. But before you know it, they're all around the boat. That's when pandemonium sets in. At times we had oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 fish in the boat flopping at the same time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh,
what
yeah.
gets you. And talk about the baits that we were using, Bill.
Well, that's a good question, because we use, I took a picture for a fishing tip on a Sportsman's Life of
yep.
4 jigs laying on the seat of a boat, and they are 1/2 ounce, 3/4 ounce, and 1 ounce. And we were seeing fish bust, just like in the summer. So I take a 1/2 ounce jig and what I call high roll it. Don't try and throw it over the moon. Get it out there and just hold your rod tip a little bit higher than normal and fast roll it where you're just subsurface and pulling them off the surface. Now, when we got up on those flats, remember I tell the boys, I say, just let it fall, let it hit the bottom, mm-hmm. and then make a steady retrieve. And if you're casting into the wind, you don't have to reel near as fast. But if you're casting downwind, you got to reel fast, keep a tight line, and feel the strike. But they were hitting all different depths. And, you know, I had a customer, it's so funny, I had a customer go fishing with us and have a stellar day like we had. And he called and said, I went fishing the next day and I couldn't catch a fish. He said, how do you do it? And I said, well, you know, don't expect to mark a whole bunch of fish. That's the ticket. Don't pull up in the middle of those birds.
Yeah.
Drift into them. Don't spook that bait. Don't spook those fish. There could only be a dozen fish working that ball of bait.
Mm-hmm.
But fishing different depths, figuring it out, being in contact with that lure, keep a tight line is the most important thing. When in doubt, rip some lips.
You bet. And, Bill, a very good point. I know all of our veteran fishermen heard you say that when you're fishing with the wind blowing toward the boat, that's one thing. But when it's going away, that's a whole different ball game, and you have to reel faster. But mm-hmm. the whole key is there's so many variables. I mean, it's not as simple mm-hmm. as it sounds when you put it to practice. It sounds like, oh, well, just throw the bait in the water and hang on. Well, it can be like that. But you have to factor in the wind direction, and the speed of the retrieve. These reels that we have today, Bill, are nothing like what you and I started fishing with.
Oh, I know.
I mean, what is 6-to-1 gear ratio?
I know. They're so fast.
Yeah. You know, one crank, and, you know, you move that bait 3 or 4 feet.
5 foot.
Five foot, yeah. So,
it's crazy.
But all of those things, the speed of the lure. One thing I learned a long time ago about striper fishing. Now, I grew up like you did, bass fishing, and we did a tremendous amount of cat fishing when I was young, mm-hmm. but bass in ponds and fished up in Oklahoma a lot. But, you know, when you're bass fishing, you know, the whole key is to kind of slow down a lot of times. But sometimes mm-hmm. striper fishing, I've tried to, like slabs that move real fast, I've tried mm-hmm. to fish them too fast, but I think your son, Chris, did some study or reading on how fast a striper can move. You can't get it going too fast for a striper a lot of times, you know?
No, it's amazing. What did he tell us? They fish, they can move 25 feet a second?
Something like that.
Something crazy.
They've got big old broad tail, though, you know, and they're streamlined, right? I mean,
from the 25 years that I fished, I told people, I said, just because we can't swim that fast, don't think that fish can't, because
yeah.
you know, I saw you with one the other day come up to the boat, and as soon as he saw that boat, he turned tail and started stripping line. I said, they see the boat and they turn tail.
Yep. And another thing that's very important, and it's something that the fisherman himself needs to remember, the guide will probably remind you once or twice when you're fishing, if you're fishing with a good guide, but pay attention to that drag. In other words, I'll put my index finger down and hit that drag every now and then, tighten it and back it to where I want that thing to be able to set a hook or get a hook set, but I want it to spin off if they turn and run. You know, I mean, you can have it too light, and
right.
you can sure have it cranked down too heavy on your drag when you're striper fishing, can't you?
Right. Yep. Now, Chris keeps his drags real tight, mm-hmm. and he knows the breaking point.
Yep.
And that's all you need to know is the breaking point on where that rod tip and that drag is going to do the work.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of coyotes right behind me howling here.
I wish we could hear them.
You will. Here they go.
Let's hear them.
I'm looking at them.
Hold on. Hold.
Hear them?
Let's listen a minute.
They just shut up.
Wow.
Said, there they go. Hear them?
Oh, my gosh. Folks, where are you going to get... Where are you, what podcast or radio station are you going to listen to and hear fishing talk with live coyotes in the background?
I'm looking at them.
Are you?
They are on a run.
How far out are they, Bill?
Five of them. They're 100 yards.
Now, you're at your place.
There's one, two, three, four, five, six.
I wish I had that 6.5 PRC with that stealth vision scope on it. We'd relieve the area. There'd be more turkeys this coming spring.
I know.
Bill, that's absolutely – all the radio, 18 years of radio, I've never had that happen when I was – when
that's
I was
awesome.
It is awesome. Folks, how about that? Now you know why you're listening to Catfish Radio, by
God. It's wonderful in the outdoors, folks. It's just wonderful.
Okay, well, two more things we've got time to hit on. One of them, when we got back to the dock, Edgar Cotton and David Cotton, father and son, Edgar's the father, from Kaufman County, good friends of mine, they were with us on this trip. Well, it was a day that none of us will ever forget fishing up there with Chris and Bill. I'm telling you that, and I fished a lot. But we got back, and then we used some cut bait. There's a lot of catfish pulling under those docks, you know, because of the cleaning of the stripers. But we put some cut bait on, and we caught, I figured it up, we caught, in 45 minutes, we caught close to 125 pounds of catfish. Now, we released them all, the big ones, but I did keep a couple. I asked Chris if he had filleted a couple of them, about 8-pounders, you know, to go. Are those coyotes still hollering out there? Is that,
no,
that's
my
your
shepherd,
dogs?
My shepherd's after them.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm looking at them. They're all around my pond down here. I'm sitting on my back deck. I just got back from the marina.
Yeah. Wow. Well, so people that want to come up winter fishing, just dressed. It was cold that day, but we had good, you know, comfortable clothes on. I had rather fish like that this time of year than when it's 95 degrees in the summer. It's just more comfortable, you know.
What did I ask you? Bring some wind? We had not had any wind until you got here.
I brought a gale with us, but it was a big Falcon boats. It was very comfortable. Okay, so I think we pretty much covered the bases, Bill, on what's going on at Texoma. Friends, you can check. Striper Express has been in business 40 years. They're lodging right there close by if you want to go up there and get you some of this action. Check them out on Facebook, you know, Striper Express, or the website is striperexpress.com. Or if you want to call, what's the number, Bill? That'll help some folks.
You bet. You can holler at us. It is 903-786-4477. That is 903-786-4477.
Well, Bill, tell those coyotes that they don't get any extra food for being on the air with us. They're going to have to go catch them a rabbit. Thank you a lot for being with us, buddy. Folks, let's talk a little outdoor cooking. Let me tell you about an electric smoker that I've been using for 15 years, I guess. Smoking Tech's electric smokers. If you're tired of staying up all night keeping that wood fire burning when you're barbecuing, give Smoking Tech's a try. They're made to last a lifetime. You can check them out at smokingtechs.com. That's smokintex.com. Well, friends, Mr. Larry Wysoon is going to tell you about the finest hunting optics that we have ever found.
Luke, these are called Stealth Vision. They come from Crockett, Texas. Dr. John McCall developed them. They're 34-millimeter tubes as opposed to the narrower tubes, so more light transmission. They have a little green light that comes on, and that scope is leveled because that's when you want to pull the trigger. They have an optional lighted reticle as well, too, and a whole lot of other products, and folks can learn more about them by going to stealthvision.com.
And for seasonings, anything to do with outdoor cooking, all kind of jerky seasonings, sausage seasonings, Butcher Packer Supply. That's butcherpackersupply.com. I think the website is butcher-packer.com.